Well, good morning, family. Good to see everybody here. Good to see all the friendly faces. There's some people missing, of course, and we're going to keep them in our prayers. But as we get closer to Christmas, it's just, I don't know about you, but it just, I love the warmth of the holiday and the season and just the special memories that are coming up. And you just think about, you know, past times. It's just it's a special time for all of us. Let's begin with a word of prayer and we'll get right into service. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the message that Carrie just shared with the kids, but for all of us, Lord, and the symbolism of not a simple candy cane and how it truly talks about Jesus' life and his ministry. Father, we celebrate so many traditions and everything from the trees to the harvest and the blessings that you pour on us with good food and the presents and the gifts that you give us every day. But Father, again, let us never lose sight. This is truly celebrating the birth of your Son, who obediently came here to earth when he didn't have to, died on that cross, and 3 days later overcame death to show us just how big you are as a God. So, Father, as we share in your word this morning, Lord, prepare our hearts and let the Spirit just speak through me and through your word, Lord. Bring truth to all of us. Lord, we love you. We say thank you. And this is a special time of the year, and we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So some of us are, well, how many of you put stuff up, decorations, before Thanksgiving it actually happened? That's okay. Be honest. There you go. There's one. That's okay. Is Thanksgiving the new line now in the sand? After that, it's like after the football and the turkey's done, out go all the decorations. Nancy? Walmart says Halloween. Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas decorations were all on displays. I mean, folks, in about a week, we're going to start seeing Valentine's Day. You know that, right? That's coming. Okay. One of the things that we all deal with, we got a new house. And I just don't want to rush into this. Of course, partly because I'm a little lazy. Putting lights up on your house. You ever think about that, JD? You got reindeer everywhere. You got lights. And last week we talked about the backward lights on the tractor, and you fixed that. And lights on houses is. I love driving down the road at nighttime and seeing the lights. Right? It kind of gives you that warm fuzzy feeling. Right? Even if it's just a simple 3-candle thing in the window. I remember that when I was a kid. My mom had one of those. It's about all we could afford. Put the little plastic with the orange light bulbs on it. And that just kind of glowed in our window. You know, it was kind of cool. Aaron is fascinated with the new TV show. What's that light show that's on there on TV now? It's a competition where they go to different people's homes. I noticed this. Most of those people in those shows, they're in places like California, Florida, where it's warm. You don't see those people doing it in the dead of winter with 2 feet of snow on the ground. Where was that place you said who's going where? Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. When they start doing a show from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, talking about putting the lights up and decorating, then it's something to think about and behold. But, you know, California, Florida, Jen, you just came from there. How cold was it when you left?
I think it was 56.
Ooh, everybody probably had coats on, right? Oh, yeah. The flip-flops go away. It was freezing. Stick around here for a while. We'll give you some good freezing lessons, okay? 20 below zero. Hackensack, oh my gosh. I remember that. I mean, people choose to live there, right? Why? I tell my kids at school that I used to live in Southern California, and they look at me like, what are you doing here? What happened? I always tell them God has a sense of humor. Here I am. One of the things that, you know, I told you, we got this new house, and guys, I think you'll appreciate this. You just do not put lights up anywhere, anyhow, right? You just don't take them and throw them up on the roof, right, Jeff? You got a plan. No? All right, let me pick somebody else. JD, you got a plan, don't you? Well, I'm just sticking with the guys right now. Okay. Well, you plan too, right, Connie?
Absolutely.
And do you count out the light bulbs that you're going to get every foot? And yours are solar. Oh my gosh, we're at a whole new level of Christmas decorating here. Oh my gosh. But you just don't throw them up. One of the funnier movies around this time of the year is Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. Okay, he has a bad holiday, right? I think it was his job, his paycheck is just not good. But then he has his family that's kind of whacked. You know, the squirrel going up the tree, you got all kinds of things, the cat chasing the squirrel. But he gets in this competition to put more lights up on his house. You ever felt that way? Be honest. Somebody in your neighborhood does a little bit more, and he's kind of got the standard for Hinesboro, I think, right there. You can see it coming into town. Now, when we start seeing a glow over Jeff and Joe's houses, you know, they've got the bug. Danielle, you might just prompt them. Has it already started, the glow? You ever seen that? You know, when you drive out here at nighttime in the – I'm sorry? When you drive out here in the four-way and you're standing out there in the middle of O Dark 30 and you look south, there's a glow over Charleston. That's what I'm talking about. That glow, Danielle and Joe, is that your, you got the glow over your house? Oh my gosh. I just love driving and seeing the lights. So you just can't do this quickly. You got to do some planning, some forethought. I got pure white LED lights that worked really good on the last house. I don't know if they're going to work here. I got gutters full of leaves I got to clean out. Now, by the way, you know, it doesn't exactly, it's going to be some work. Putting lights up, mine kind of look like that sometimes. You know, they just kind of, what? In a knot. That's another thing. You pull these things out of, why didn't we take more time putting them away nicer and neater? Or better yet, how many of you still have the boxes that the lights came in and you put them back on the same way that they came in and they all fit in the same box? Do you do that? Connie, do you do that? Your light inserts with your lights on it go back in the box and you can seal it up and put it away. Oh my God, there's something wrong there. Mine never fit. Eventually I just Walmart bag them, coil them up and put them in there. And then the next year when you take them out, you got to lay them down, you got to undo the knots, and then you got to find the burnout bulbs. Lights are something. They say that it's one of the tests of your marriage, relationship, you know, how well you deal with lights, putting them up. Well, I've heard a couple things. Hanging wallpaper and trailering a boat. Those are always great ones. If you can do that well as a couple, you'll probably survive. I think Christmas lights are another one. Even putting up this tree. Jacob and I tried it, and there were too many plugs. Kenny had, the master electrician had to come and figure it out. Thank you, Kenny, by the way. We had the wrong plugs in the wrong, it wasn't starting fire, but it's beautiful, isn't it? Lights just, they draw your eyes. Now, the interesting thing about that movie, Christmas Vacation, is we can be the Joneses. We want to outdo the Joneses. Then you're all looking at the sales after Christmas. I was walking through Walmart. Oh, my gosh. Walking through Walmart after Christmas, still on break, still had my wits about me. We hadn't gone back to school yet. And everything was on sale. Their lights, their decorations, everything. This cool-looking train set was like normally $40, and they had them on sale for $5. I bought three of them. They're still in the box. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. My thought was, because the kid in me wants to come out, I'm going to put all the tracks together and make a super big layout through the house and wherever, and in my man barn eventually, wherever that is. But I bought three of them because it was too hard to pass up. Those after Christmas sales, you're thinking about next. JD, do you have dreams? You know how they... Dreams of gumdrops, or what's that song, the kid's song? Lily, gumdrops and dreams. Rain, okay. Do you dream about more reindeers, more decorations? Do you think about that? Do you want to add more?
I can't
Got to get rid of what I got. I got that one. Well, here's what I know about Christmas lights. If I was to have one of those competitions and I said I was from Hinesboro and I didn't want to do all the work, it'd be very easy for me to say, I'd go over by, tell everybody to go to JD's house and then take credit for it. Would that be cool? No, because JD did all the work, right? You did all the work. You put them up or you had friends helping you. Not anymore? Okay, well, it's still yours. If me coming over taking credit for your lights, that would be crazy, right? Well, I love the Christmas story. I love how we put one star on top, one significant light on top. It's just like the story where in Bethlehem, the wise men, as Carrie said, they were following that northern light, that light for Jesus. I think notice I don't say lights, Christmas lights. What I'm talking about is the light of Christmas, which is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. Put the first slide up, please. Today's readings, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6. Jesus says two specific things about lights, and it clashes. And it's caused people some concern. What's he talking about? We're going to talk about that. And then in Acts 3, Peter goes out and demonstrates what Jesus is trying to talk about. But here's your question today. Do others see the light of God in you? Do others see the light of God in you? Now, I'm not talking about the Christmas tree lights. I'm not talking about that star on top. But that's what Jesus says in verse 5 and verse 6, or chapter 5 and chapter 6. He's talking about this light. Anybody ever heard the word Shekinah glory or that phrase? It's a Hebrew word. It's not even in the Bible. But it's something that was in the rabbinical writings. When the priests used to go into the Holy of Holies, or when they were around the Ark with the temple, the priests, the Holy of Holies, when they go in the presence of God, they would come out kind of like that Charlton Heston thing. Remember when he was up in the presence of God, he came back down, his hair was white? Okay, that's the Shekinah glory effect of having been in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, that you just glow. And I've seen this in people. I haven't walked up and said, you got the Shekinah glory. What I've seen is a light in people's lives that follow Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? You can tell somebody who follows Jesus sometimes. You can see it in their life. You can see it in their smile. You can see it. Their shoulders aren't this way. They're not. It's like, it doesn't mean that they don't have cares in the world, but there's something about them that kind of makes them a little different. And it's not the wacky stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not the multicolor hair and the John 3:16 sign. But you can say a lot about that guy too. What I'm talking about, there's a glow. There's a resonating kind of light that comes off them. And it actually comes from within. It comes from within their heart. It comes within their being, in their spirit. And that's where that Shekinah glory comes from. It talks about you get so close to God, you're in such contact with God that you just can't, you exude it. It just comes out of you. That's what I'm talking about, this Christmas light. So do others see that light of God in you? Now, you might say, what are you talking about, Rich? Do I got to put a light on my head? Do I got to wear something that, you know, those own ugly sweater that lights up? Or do I got to do one? No. What I'm talking about is this natural spiritual light that comes about because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you just can't stop it. You can't hide it. You can't cover it. You can't block it. It just comes out of you. And here's the reality. All of us have that ability. All of us have that. Remember in the story, one of my favorite ones is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? And he had that red nose? And when all the people start picking on him, what'd they do? He put some mud or a cap over it, or I think it was a black olive. One of those big California black olives, you know. He tried to cover it up. The symbolism in that story about that light shining out is incredible when you think about it, because that's the Shekinah glory that I'm talking about. As believers, people ought to see Jesus in our lives. They ought to see it. Not only what we say or what we do or how much we give, but just in our personality, our demeanor, the way we walk in life. There ought to be a difference. Sadly, we know this. I think I think people are confused. They see people, you say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and there's just not a light there. Or the light has been stifled or not blown out. It's still there. It's just, it's not as bright. And this is the time of the year when that light ought to be shining the greatest in all of us. I appreciate the decorations. I love it. I love the stuff on TV. I love the shows. I love the giving of presents. I love getting presents. But there's something about that light that we ought to be pursuing. And if it's not showing, what can we do about it? Well, how can we get it back, or how can we make it brighter? So let's talk about this. We're going to start reading some scriptures. Put the first one up, Jacob. The first one's in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. This is where Jesus has taken his disciples up just before the Beatitudes or right after the Beatitudes, where he's preaching on the side of the mountain. I've been there, the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful setting. And on the mountainside, he's teaching. And it's one of the best sermons on the mount, they call it. This is one of the best, most beautiful sermons in the Bible. And this is Jesus' words. He says right out, you are to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In that same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So let's just talk about this analogy that Jesus is talking about for a minute. You are the light. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. What he's talking about is if you want to build a fortress and you don't want your enemies to see you, you don't build it on a hill. That's where everybody sees it. When there's lights in the window and candles and the fires from cooking, they can see that. You do it behind, you do it in caves, you do it behind walls, you hide it. Jesus is saying your light, it's not, you don't hide it. Neither do people put a lamp under a bowl. You know how crazy that is? In this case, it's not a bowl, it's a basket, but you would turn a basket over and put it over a candle or a fire. Why would you do that? Whatever you put over it burns up, you know, that becomes part of the fire. Instead, they put it on a stand. You know, I picture one of these mic stands or one of those little stands that we've got, like this one, and it gives off light. That's natural. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. And so here's Jesus in chapter 5 saying this, but then, check this out. Next one. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from Father in heaven. What's that? Why is there one hand he's saying, do good, let others see it. And then he's saying, whoa, don't let other people see it. What is that about? But let's, before we get into that, let's just talk about some things that are on your outline. What is light? Let's start with a basic definition of light. What is Jesus talking about? First one, it illuminates darkness. So what was once dark, now there's light. The kids who come to our youth program love to play hide and seek in here. We turn the lights off and they come up here and hide. And they, you know what? These kids, hide and seek is not the same in the 2000s. You know why? Everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody's cell phone's got a light in it, a lamp. You can cheat. Imagine doing hide and seek, Mason, without a light. You have to go around and kind of check it out, you know? You know, everything gets a little spookier, you know, and the creaks and the groans. But light illuminates darkness. The minute you turn a light on, the darkness disappears. Next, it illuminates hidden things. That's what I'm talking about, Mason. Your hiding spot, you're not hiding anymore. We can spot each other. But also, don't we always turn a light on when we go into a room because we don't want to step on the Legos that our kids left there? Or the cat? Or the dog? My dog has taken up this habit of sleeping. There's our hallway, if you were there. We've got our bedroom door, the kids' bedroom door, and Aaron's is up the hallway. Derby sleeps right there. I know I'm going to step on that dog sooner or later. I'm going to wake everybody up in the house. So it illuminates hidden things. Dangers, areas that you have to be careful, things that have been hidden. An analogy might be the parts of our heart, the parts of our life that we've done things in secret. And the light there is God. Things get revealed. When truth comes out, the light is revealed. That's the analogy. So it illuminates darkness, it illuminates hidden things, but also does this. It provides direction. When I was in the Navy, out in the middle of the ocean, you could tell a ship coming at you by the lights on the ship. Anybody know that, by the way? There's red and green lights. One's starboard and the other one's port. The green light is on starboard and the red light's on port. So if you're looking at, you see a white light in the middle and you see a red light and a green light coming at you, that's what? Going away from you. Because that's the stern light. You see what I'm saying? If it's the green light's on the other side and the red light's on the other side coming at you, left and right, that means the light's coming at you. The ship's so you learn that in basic seamanship. Airplanes. You ever look at an airplane flying? The few that we get around here, they got a red light and a green light on the outside. That's to tell visually which direction the plane is flying at you or away from you. It's a quick way of seeing that. But light provides direction also. The North Star. What did they do with the North Star, Kenny? What did that help people do? Navigate. Navigate. Today, you read the stars. It's a skill that's no longer taught. But people, the sailors used to navigate by the stars. We know where the sun is, and we can track it and see time. But I also know that a lot of times, especially if you read the Old Testament, every day, morning and night, when the Jews were coming back out of the desert, God was leading them. And what was he in the form of? Light in the sky. And God told Moses, follow the light. It gave direction. It told him where to go. The next thing it provides, comfort. Have you ever been somewhere that's been dark, and all of a sudden a light turns on? You know, just maybe it's self-induced. You're in a house and it's dark, and you're watching a scary movie or something, and all of a sudden you go turn a light on. I did that as a kid a couple times. I've done that. What about when you're just going down the street somewhere and then the passing light? You go into some of these roads and they're pretty dark out there. I've been places in California up in the mountains up there. You can get lost. You think you know where you're going as long as you stay on the road, but it's nice to see that light, that other light coming at you that, hey, this is a traffic, you know, place people are at. But it can provide comfort knowing that you're in a safe spot. Next, it provides welcome. What's that commercial where the guy says, and we'll leave the light on, that hotel? Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on. He didn't have to say, we're going to leave the light on because we want you to come and visit our hotel. We'll leave the light on. Well, that means something, doesn't it, Helen? It means welcome. What do you do on Halloween when you don't want kids to knock on your door? Turn the light off. I'm thinking about one day putting a bunch of, like, runway lights pointing to my neighbor's house. Go there. You do. You hide the light. You take the light off. But also, when you have guests coming, you turn the porch light on, right? You want them to feel comfortable and welcoming when they come to your home. And then lastly, it provides focus. Not only does it provide direction, but by being able to see, you can get focused on a direction, and it is a path. That light upon your feet, it provides a focus. Without that, you're kind of like all over the place. You don't have that focus. So that's the definition of what I would call light. If I had to look at Webster's, even in the Bible, those are the things that I see when it talks about light. So when you look at those two verses, Jesus is saying on the one hand, let your light shine out and let everybody see it. But then he said in chapter 6, well, wait a minute. Don't let everybody see what's going on. And further it talks about don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, and blah, 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 blah. What's the confusion? Are we supposed to show our light or not? So let's put this up. Let's look at the next one. This story is Acts chapter 3. We're going to read it because it's a little bit of more than I can put on the screen. But let me set it up for you. In Acts chapter 3, Jesus has already died. He's already came out of the grave, and he's ascended back to heaven. He came back, and he was seen by the disciples, and we know that Pentecost happened. That's right at the end of chapter 2, going into chapter 3. Pentecost is when the the disciples had gathered all back together again, and the Holy Spirit came, just like Jesus predicted. When I leave, I'm going to send you a helper, that helper being the Holy Spirit. And it talks about the flame coming down upon their heads, and all of a sudden they started being able to speak in foreign languages and sharing the gospel with others. And I love that section, because Peter, for the first time, has the guts to speak truth. We know just a little bit before Acts 1, what did Peter do when Jesus got captured? He denied him 3 times. He hid. And in Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, he gives a sermon where 3,000 to 5,000 people commit their life to Christ. They say, I want to follow this guy. He spoke with passion. He spoke with conviction. He spoke with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's just open up to Acts chapter 3. We're just going to read the first 16 verses. This is how God intends us to have the light of God show through us. This is it, right here. Peter heals a lame beggar is what my section's called. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple. This is back in Jerusalem at the time of prayer, about 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When you walk around Jerusalem, one of the first things you're going to experience, is the amount of beggars that are around there. They're still there today. Professional, whether they're professional or not, they're not the guys that had the street signs that say, you know, veteran looking for a couple dollars. These are people that are physically destitute. Some of them have missing limbs. It's a poor sight to see this, and they have a little cup out there or something. And then you got the ones that chase you when they see that you come off a tour bus or you look different, you look westernized. They'll follow you. They'll put their hands out and say, you know, alms or whatever. So here's this lame guy. He was put out by the gate, and he was put there every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. What was he begging for? Money. That's the only way he could survive, was depending on somebody else to give him something else. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, no, he didn't just say. He said, look at us. It was a command. Look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. When I get to heaven, I want to see this DVD. I want to see this. I want to see this happen with my own eyes. This guy who's lame, who's probably a cripple all his life, is commanded to stand up. And then his body is just transformed. It's healed. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Just stop there for a minute. Have you been healed by Jesus? They didn't get much of a reply. Some of you are dealing with some infirmities right now. I know that. We pray for Jolene and her cancer. Louie, what you've been dealing with. Some of you are dealing with some major health issues. Connie, we've been praying for you. Ray, we were praying for you when you went into the hospital. It happens. We pray. I know you prayed for me when I had my lung test and all of a sudden they found that dot on there or whatever. I'm praying for Alex right now. We're praying for sickness. We're praying for healing in our relationships. We're praying for jobs. We're praying for financial help. We're praying for a lot of things. Have you been healed? There's things that we're dealing with right now. Let me just back the story up. Do you have Jesus in your life? Do you have eternity with Jesus Christ to look forward to the rest of your life? That's the healing that counts, folks. That's the healing that is the one that counts the most. Whatever we deal with, whatever we face, all the stuff that we're going to be dealing with from now till we get into heaven, that's secondary. We've been healed. By his stripes, we have been healed. Can I hear an amen on that one? Amen. The greatest sickness that we ever could face, death, has been overcome. Because of Jesus' death and his willingness to come and die for you, Helen, you have eternity to live with God. there will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. But because Jesus did what he did, we have health. We have healing. He jumped to his feet. When was the last time you jumped up and down about Jesus? Sometimes, you know, we joke about the kids' music and some of the stuff and their concerts and whatever. I see kids bouncing. I see kids jumping. I see kids getting excited about the gospel. I see them getting excited about Jesus. Sometimes we get a little bit older. Well, there's a couple of reasons we don't jump around maybe so much. Because our parts will fall off. You know what I'm saying? You know, we get one of those new knees or whatever, and they get locked up, and you need a little WD-40, you know? Or you go through the airport scanner, and all of a sudden the bells go off, and they think you're a terrorist because you got more metal in you than anything. Our body changes. We get older, right? Things don't bounce the same way as they used to, or maybe they bounce too much. But sometimes we just need to get up and just go, yay! Imagine this guy for the first time walking in his life going, the fist pump of fist pumps. And he's giving knuckles to Jesus. Sometimes in our life, our light gets a little bit dull. It gets a little less shiny. It gets a little less bright. Because the life that we've been given and that we're dealing with puts baskets over our lights. And we get a little bit subdued and a little bit calmer and a little bit more mature and a little bit more proper, and we don't jump up and down anymore. I had missionaries come to us in Southern California talking about their evangelism outreach. African tribes that just get up when they accept Jesus and they hear the gospel, just bouncing for joy and dancing. Here we call it Pentecostalism, but there they just are joyful that Jesus is in their life. That's what this guy felt. When all the people saw him, meaning the guy who was lame, walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Isn't that just like God? He shows up and he heals somebody, and they know exactly what happened. You see, we might think that we're fighting some big fights and that Satan feels like he's winning sometimes. All you gotta do is read this. This is just one guy. This is just one person. The world knows when God shows up. Verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, what would you be doing? you're walking for the first time in your life? I'd probably go run a marathon. I'd go run around all the Jerusalem. I'd be running up and down the aisles, screaming, I can walk. But he's holding on to their hands. All the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Would that surprise you? Are you surprised when God shows up? This is not the kind of surprise of joy. This is the kind of surprise of what's happening here. Why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. 14. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that our murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can now see. Wow. Doesn't that make you want to get up and bounce and shout and get excited a little bit? Doesn't it make your hairs go up in your arms a little bit? This wasn't done something in a closet or in a church where nobody could see. This was done in public. The public saw this happen. The public, which had doubts about the veracity of who Jesus Christ was. In fact, Peter Peter, the same guy who denied him just weeks ago, is now telling these people their face, the guy you murdered. You murdered him and gave up a guy who was a murderer and set him free. He did this. Why are you surprised? Peter, that's pretty gutsy of Peter, number one. My esteem of Peter just goes up tremendously in Acts. I thought he was a nice guy, maybe a good fisherman, you know, loved God, loved Jesus. But after the Holy Spirit hit him, his whole life changed. You couldn't hold him down. I wouldn't get into a boxing ring with him. The guy was tough, spiritually tough. So let's talk about this now. What's this conflict? Why is Jesus saying on the one hand, show your light, but then don't show the world? What did Peter just do? Let's talk about this. God's light. Let's talk about this. Number one, it's praiseworthy. See, when we talk about ourselves, it's kind of like Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation talking about, look at how big, bright my house is. Or be like me coming over and telling everybody, JD's house was my house. What's praiseworthy is it's God's glory, not mine. We honor him. We say, thank you, God, for what you've done in our life. When we feel that Holy Spirit moment, when we feel the touch of God in our lives, it's praiseworthy. Is one of the reasons our light maybe is not so bright because we've stopped praising God for what he's done for us already and we're expecting more? Wow. Maybe we want this is going to sound terrible. We want the gifts to still keep coming. But he's already given us the greatest gift we'll ever receive. Ever. Right now, some of us are dealing with some pretty big issues, and we want that healing. We want that gift. We want the thing that's on our heart. I get it. But we've already been given the greatest gift that we'll ever receive in our life. Do we still praise him for that? Or does our praise, is it predicated or balanced on how much we get when we ask for prayers or when we want something? You ever seen a kid get the wrong present underneath the tree or not the present they were expecting? Maybe that was you. I've been there. I got a gift re-gifted to me by my little brother. He wasn't much of a model builder. We got two gifts. I like to build models. He gave me his, put the wrapping paper on it, and put it back underneath the tree because that's all I could afford. I got to say, I felt a little disappointed. Didn't have the wrapper around it. Didn't have the shiny new box. Did Jesus come in a shiny box? Did Jesus come with a price tag on it? Jesus came in a manger, in a shed, in the inn, whatever you want to call it. He didn't come as everybody wanted him. Keep it simple. He kept it simple. He's praiseworthy. It starts with giving him the honor and the glory for the miracles that we see happening. Not us. It's not my lights, it's his light. Next, number two. It's other focused. Peter and John gave the glory to God. It's not me. Why are you surprised? That Holy Spirit is available to all of us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's other focused. Number three. It reveals our true love. When we talk about what we've done, when we talk about, look at what we've accomplished, or look at me. See, that's what Jesus was upset about with the Pharisees, more than anything. It was about what they're doing, the outside. But when you give others, somebody other besides yourself, love and attention, and you care for them, it shows our true love, which is God and Jesus Christ. When you let that light out, you're saying, I love Jesus. Next. And while it shows our true love, it exposes our real heart. See, the clash there, the difference between Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 is Jesus having you do a heart check. In chapter 5, all of us, our duties are to let our light shine. That's Jesus through us, the Holy Spirit through us. But in chapter 6, what he's doing is giving us a warning. It's not about you. It's about me. And I think one of the reasons our light diminishes or dims a little bit in our walk as we get mature, whatever, or life lives on, is we stop thinking and remembering it's about Jesus. And we make it about ourselves. We make it about what we've done, what we've accomplished. And God's saying, stop. So that's the clash. That's, while we're supposed to let the light shine, give it the right honor, give it the right glory, get it pointed at God. And then next, it produces good works in us. When the light of Jesus, when God's light is in us, it produces good works. Peter and John were obedient. I don't know if they had foreknowledge that they were going to see this blind guy. If they were in that town, they probably knew this guy. But when they saw him, God did something for them. Speak the truth. What I have, I can give you. They didn't hold it in. They didn't run with it the other way. They didn't bury it in the backyard. They shared it, which is what we're supposed to be doing. We're sharing the good news. Lastly, it gives God the glory. That's what you hear. The person you murdered, he did this, not me. So here's our takeaway for the day. God's light reveals how good he is, not us. I'll just be real honest. You guys are good people. I'm a good person. My family's good. My mother-in-law is great, a good person, got a great heart. But you know what? Jesus is better. God's even better. And the why I have the light, I hope it shines. I hope people see it in my life. I hope they see it in your life. They'll come up to you and they'll say, what's about you? And if you're not hearing that, pray about it. Maybe God needs to help brighten your light again in your life. Go back to the original, why did God save you? He loves you. Spend some time there. This time of year, it's so busy. There's lights everywhere. They're on our houses. They're on our cars. They're on our tractors. They're everywhere, aren't they, JD? They're on our roofs. But let's let the light of Jesus show through us. Let that be the brightest light that people see in this holiday season. It's about Jesus, not about us. Let's pray. Father, I love this story, and I love how Jesus' words are still so true today. Forgive me where I put the light of God underneath the bushel in my life, or through the hardness of life and the circumstances I'm facing, I forget about giving you the glory. It says that we're to give glory in all things, even when it's good and bad. Thank you, God, for letting me endure this. Thank you, God, for being there with me. Thank you for allowing me to have faith in you. Father, thank you for your son who gave his life willingly for me. And as we celebrate this season for his birth, we're so thankful that he was obedient to you first. Lord, we love you. We say thank you. And all God's people said, amen.